All right, y'all. I have a couple of questions. Who killed Molly's parents? Is Gert the dinosaur whisperer? And why aren't we cool as Nico yet? After show for Runaways starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey!
Get it, Mia. Get it, Ashley. Here we go.
Yes, guys. Does this song familiar? Does it sound familiar to you? Because it's Molly's theme, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Busting's open.
She is busting something, okay, in these two episodes. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Runaways After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Give us a like on YouTube, comment, subscribe, like us, and subscribe to us on iTunes as well. Just subscribe to us, okay? Everywhere possible, all right? I am joined by my own lovely panel of Runaways. Guys, or ladies, introduce yourselves, please.
Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. This lovely lady.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mina Wahab, and you can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic. Yes, I make the magic happen, everyone.
Good. I love it. Hey, guys. I'm Ashley Brinkman. You can find me on Instagram at Ashley_Brinkman. I'm excited to talk about the dinosaur.
Yes. And guys, I'm Oliver Jen, and follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Oh my gosh, guys. So today we're covering two episodes. We have episode 2 and 3. Number 2, we're going to start off with Rewind. So
we get to see the parents' version of the reunion day.
Their perspectives before the ceremony of Destiny. And we're going to find out what exactly happened to Destiny. We still kind of don't really know. So let's start off with the Wilders, which are Alex's parents, Jeffrey and Catherine. And we're coming to find out that Jeffrey seems to be a lot more sympathetic than Catherine. What do you guys think about Alex's parents at this point?
Catherine is stone cold.
Yes.
She has a heart of coal.
Yeah, she does.
But I like it. She's like a very, like, she knows what she wants. She just wants to, like, she's all business. Mm-hmm. And I think Jeffrey really balances her out well, mm-hmm. like, nicely, because he has, like, he's very soft. Even though he comes from this, like, hard path, like, mm-hmm. he was in prison, he had this, like, rough life, apparently, before her, and now he's kind of just, like, a sweet guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He feels bad about it all, but he's not stopping it, so.
Absolutely.
I think in some ways, at the core, they both have the fundamentally, like, similar belief that, hey, we've come so far from where we were before, why give up now? But the only difference is that, I feel like Jeffrey has come so far from, you know, like, from the hood and from the lifestyle he had before that he feels like, what's the difference between what I did now versus what I did then if ultimately I'm being a bad person right now? Like, I don't want, like, all the hard work I put in to go to waste and to, like, compromise my morals or my values at this point. So mm-hmm. I don't think he's really seeing the greater goal right now, and I think there might be, like, a split between those two because mm-hmm. they see things so differently, even though they both realize they've come so far.
Yeah. And it's funny because Jeffrey's so, like, cutthroat. He's like Catherine in the comics. He's the one who killed Destiny in the comics. He was just like, huh, during the ceremony. So it's really interesting to see him a lot more emotional mm-hmm. than Catherine. And I love Angel, who portrays Catherine. She's just doing such a phenomenal job. I'm like, girl, you are scaring me. I love you so much.
She's good.
I think Jeffrey, because I understand coming from a place of the hood, like, I grew up in the projects, and I'm totally different. Like, I'm very, obviously, outgoing, and it doesn't really affect how I am now. But I can see where he's coming from. He's like, if I've worked so hard to try to get someone placed better, but it's almost a more prettier version. It's, like, in a pretty little package, but still the same things I did. So what's the difference now?
Mm-hmm. We see his hood ways come back when, like, the mobsters come back, or the gangsters come back, and try to trifle up with his... the production site, remember?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and construction site.
Threatening his grandma.
Thank you. The production site. similar word, okay. I'm
horrible
with
it. His name was Darius.
Darius Davis.
In his crew, yeah.
I love that name.
Darius Davis.
But he scared them away. He's like, look, I got your Grammy on speed dial. We're going to blow her house up if you mess with my production.
Technically, I thought it was too easy of a give up. Like, if you got guns, so, like, just because you threatened my grandmother, I kind of could shoot you right now.
And she's going to die anyway. She's old. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I digress
from what Mina just said.
However, but, you know, Darius is smarter than he looks. Like, he transferred all the data from Jeffrey's phone. Mm-hmm. So now he can monitor the text and the calls that are coming in. So he has his own dirt to get on him.
It's going to be interesting to see how these mobsters, like, interfere with, you know, the whole pride and, like, the runaways as well. And so it's a mess right now. And it's funny, we're going to have this question of, is Jeffrey really doing this for his family and his community, or is he really doing this to benefit himself? We don't know. We're going to find out soon, though. But let's get on to the Steins real quick. Victor, we get a little bit of Victor. He's abusive, clearly, to Chase, and he's abusive to his own wife, Janet.
Yeah.
And so Janet, later on, we come to find out that she is, in fact,
talking. That was in three.
No, but she calls.
She gets a call, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're kind of like, I wonder.
I knew I wonder. It.
We kind of called did, this. Well,
I
she
called it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, no, sometimes when your own son has to say, I didn't even think dad let you have friends. If your husband can alienate you from having friends, you're going to get a call. Yeah. Suspect right now. Mm-hmm. I'm suspect of you. Cheating.
I like this comment from Jay Snowdown in the chat. He says, my one issue with the show is how many shirts they have Chase wear. Who needs them? LOL.
I totally agree.
Yeah, they definitely did change Chase a lot from the comics. He's more of like a nerdy, like brainy jock,
like Alex,
a little bit. But he's more friendlier. But here he's more of the jock, and he's definitely putting up a front, I feel like, to fit in with the popular crowd and the rest of the jocks. Yeah. I think. So I'm super excited for episode 4, which we have not seen yet. So please don't spoil us, guys.
We also get to see something's up with Victor. He's having headaches.
Yes,
his pod doesn't work. The rat doesn't disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's incredibly abusive to his wife and the little rat. She's like, get rid of it.
And I think, wonder if that rat is like a metaphor. Like, is there a rat in the pride? Is there a rat in the runaways? Ooh, I don't know.
I think there might be.
There might be.
I also think he's suffering from like a aneurysm or early onset of like Alzheimer or dementia. Like, there's something there because the constant, like, headaches, you only get headaches eventually when something's wrong with you internally, even though you don't know and you're not going to get help.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and, like, either he's always been abusive, or it's just, like, something that's slowly crept up through the years because of whatever is happening inside that he has no idea about.
Yeah. And I wonder, in episode 3, I know I'm jumping ahead, but the Yorks, the serum that they developed kind of, like, is for, like, PTSD and stuff like that. So I wonder if that's going to play into, like, him and, like, if they're going to use it on him or something. So look out for that. I just literally thought of that on the top of my head when you brought that up. So thank you, Shay.
You're welcome.
Prediction. Let's get on. I know. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Well, let's get on to the Dean. So Carolina and her family. Frank is, like, a very, like, well-known actor, and he's kind of washed out now because he's kind of, like, a teenage heartthrob, like, back in the day.
But he's still kind of high as he a dad.
He is very attractive.
He's very attractive.
Yeah. So I'm surprised.
He needs to go on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
Well, some reality show that's going to pay him that much, too.
That guy looks like a straight up goofball, dude. Like, straight goof. Like, dad pants and all. Like,
well, we know how you feel.
He reminds me a lot of Alexander Skarsgård a little bit.
That's yes.
And it's funny because I didn't even realize this until watching the episode 2 again, that Frank was actually not at the ceremony. I did not realize that. And Frank in the comics, of course, he is. But it's going to be interesting because it seems like he's already, like, so disconnected from the pride. He's not a member of the pride, basically.
Okay, well, that's for episode 3. We'll get into, because I have my thoughts on that one.
Okay.
3, since we're not there yet, we'll get to it and just remind me to go back to Frank.
Dude, real quick, though, that guy's so pathetic. Like, even his wife has, like, brainwashed him into the church that she has created. It's ridiculous. He's like the Jerry from... he's like the Jerry from Rick and Morty. It's really bad.
I don't think any of us watch Rick and Morty. I'm sorry.
Like, we're so sorry, guys. We don't watch it.
I'm disappointed.
I will maybe watch an episode or two. But I'm sorry, Anthony. We're not cool like you. I apologize. So anyways, it's funny because Frank seems like he's jealous of his wife in a sense, because his wife, Leslie, is like the star. She's almost like stealing the show of the pride because, you know, she's the head of this church and she's getting all this press and media and everyone looks up to her. And it seems like, as an actor, it's like, I'm aging and my wife is like so like above me almost. So I'm useless.
And he just got fired, like dropped from his manager or agent, whoever it was. So he's in like a really desperate place, like sneaking into her private meditation area where...
The crusty body.
The crusty body, yeah. The crusty,
what do you guys think of that crusty body?
It's the granddaddy.
It is. Yeah.
It's the granddaddy.
It's her.
I agree.
Is it Lindsay's dad?
The one who created the church, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah. That's, which is Carolina's grandfather.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's probably...
And that picture, oh, episode, oh,
can we...
Let's get to it, though.
We will. Let's finish the Deans.
Because now, like, we're just going towards it, though, it seems like.
So, speaking of Leslie, Leslie goes to track down Destiny.
Yeah.
Because those Taser sisters in episode one, you know, when they tase the Hispanics who were taunting Destiny, they come and, like, oh, Destiny's fleeing. So, they go... So, Leslie goes to confront Destiny, and she convinces Destiny to come back because she's going to become an Ultra, finally. And it's funny because Destiny was, like, not a character at all. She was in two pages in the comics. So they're fleshing her out, and we come to find out that she's a runaway.
And she's a mother of a three-year-old.
Yeah. So that's really sad, knowing that what happens to her.
You could see how torn... It's Leslie, right?
Yeah. Or,
Lindsay? We could see, how torn she is when she finds out that Destiny does have a daughter, but she still puts the pride in, like, her father first.
Yeah.
I thought that was so heartbreaking. What would you guys, like... I couldn't do it. I would let her go. I feel like there's got to be somebody else to pick.
Yeah, because it's like, Leslie, you're a mother, too. You have Carolina.
Exactly, yeah.
Or does she?
I think she does. We're going to find out.
My theory.
It's funny because she totally rejected Frank because Frank was like, I want to become an Ultra too. And she was like, nope, we're going to get Destiny.
Yeah. Did you guys catch the meaning of Ultra, going Ultra? It's devotion of body and soul.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Nice. Which you would think technically she did go literally. Ultra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But we find out later that she doesn't, right? Did you just say that?
Well, yeah. Kind of did. Yeah. It just failed.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the Menorahs real quick.
Because she wasn't dead. Frank killed her after the fact.
Yeah.
I mean, not Frank, Victor.
But do we know, like, that? Do we know if that machine was supposed to kill her, or was it supposed to, like, transport her or something?
Yeah. Yes.
It's supposed to transport her body and soul into the granddaddy.
Grandpa Krusty.
Mm-hmm. Grandpa Krusty.
Sacrificing an innocent soul into the crusty body of Leslie's daddy.
Yeah.
So
then would it just be the body of Leslie's dad and then the soul of, like,
of
how would that
else.
Work? I thought it was, like, getting transported to, like, another dimension.
Leslie tried. She was just like, oh, yeah, Destiny, it's going to be all good and fine. Nope.
We never have to see each other again. All the parents were super excited about the fact we don't have to talk to each other ever again in our lives.
So it's great ground.
And you already know, you see the cracks within the pride already in episode 3. We're skipping ahead. But, like, we know that they're not exactly close.
Yeah.
Because, like, Tina and Stacy, they don't like each other. They don't like the Bree. So, speaking of the Minorus, Tina and Robert are having major conflicts in their marriage, and we later find out that, the affair...
Oh, we're on 3 now?
Well...
Did we skip? Okay.
Anyways.
Continue.
We found out
I was like, I'm waiting for it!
Yeah, this is very difficult to juggle, but anyways, Robert's like, Tina, we already lost Amy, we don't want to lose Nico, too, because look, we're kind of already losing Nico, and it's so sad.
And then did they sacrifice Amy?
That is a very good question. I'm actually curious about that as well.
I don't think they did.
They keep saying, I know I'm skipping to 3, but they called Molly's parents a tragic accident. They said what happened to Amy, a tragic accident. Correlations. Come on now, people. Help me.
Well, I think I don't think that they're bringing them to Ultra or whatever, but they definitely, you know, there's some foul play. Nico's mom, she had the burn in the funeral scene, and Jeffrey kind of accuses her of possibly setting the fire, which kills Molly's parents.
Mm-hmm. Alice and Jean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the names. There's so many names to remember.
There's a lot of names. That's why they didn't cast Alice and Jean, so it's like two less people to remember. So we'll just skip to the Pride meeting, which we see the animosity, and there's supposedly this is the last time they're going to see each other. And so it happens. Destiny is sacrificed. The parents are worried that the kids saw, so Alex comes up with a plan. He, like, shuts out all the lights, and then Catherine and Jeffrey, they rush to...
And then turns them back on.
Yeah. They rush to the playroom, and it's funny because this was a scene in the comics that they're all like, oh, they're playing Twister, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so happy that they incorporated that into the show. So... is Destiny still alive? I don't know. Carolina seems to think that Destiny is still alive. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. We were talking about this, that Nico and Alex. What did you think of the moment between Nico and Alex in the bathroom?
I thought it was so adorable. Like they kind of center each other. No matter how badass Nico tries to be, she does have a soft side. And Alex does bring that out in her. I think that's the only character that brings it out in her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just love the sweetness.
I want to know about their history before the passing of Amy.
I thought they were together.
Oh, they totally went out.
Yeah. It has to be something. Out. Like in the picture that he sent, I could have sworn like his arms were around her.
This bond,
yeah.
This bond is deeper than just friendship, I feel like.
It was really sweet too, because Alex like put his hand on hers and it's like, you're not alone. And they always kind of like find themselves together in all situations. So I really am excited to see like them together.
And then Nico, clearly she lost Amy. So, and Alex doesn't know, he's an only child, so he doesn't know what that dynamic in the family was. So Nico's like, no, you don't understand. But it's nice that Alex is like, you know, a shoulder for her to like lean on, and they're reconciling finally. So the episode ends with Gert singing, you know, a song, which we hear later, like a hymn in episode 3. But this was very interesting. We see the dinosaur in the basement kind of like listen to Gert. And so I'm wondering,
it's going through the vents.
Yeah, it's going through the vents. And so this dinosaur seems to have like an interesting connection to Gert. So anyway,
that's her superpower.
This episode,
she's like Eliza Thornberry.
You're on to something, Mina.
Well, Thornberry's but reference, yes.
I'm excited to get on episode 3. So we're on episode 3, but this episode 2 ends with Jeffrey finding Molly's little kitty hairpin. So
and Destiny still being alive.
And
she was still alive in that.
She's
still alive.
We also end with Carolina getting a text from Destiny. She's happy about it.
Oh, I thought she got that the next.
It was kind of like the dots. Oh, yeah, the dots. Like, you know,
someone was texting.
She has faith that she's alive and texting her.
But personally, this is my thinking. If I thought I saw you get killed and you just send me ... and I don't get your text until the next morning, I have issue. I'm calling suspect. Because something is wrong. You should, like, if you, like, obviously you got it, so why are you ... me? So I know you're alive and you're well.
She probably got it that night. It's just...
No, she was already on her phone, like, listening to her mom's meditation thing. That would already been up on her notification, technically.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's talk about episode 3. So episode 3 is titled Destiny. Ta-da! So we pick up with the funeral, like, years ago, the funeral of Molly's parents, Jean and Alice.
It was so sad.
It was so sad. And you saw everyone, you know, like 6 or 5, and little Molly in a little wheelchair with her broken leg. And I was like, ah!
A little stuffed animal.
Oh, my. And I think she had the hair clip in. I don't know. But that was something that we found out later that Molly's mom gave to her. So that's like the only thing that she has of her mother left. So, you know, we brought this up. Jeffrey accuses Robert of killing Molly's parents. So I guess maybe we'll save the predictions. What do you think of this whole reunion, the funeral, and like the Yorks? They're like, okay, well, we talked to Jean and Alice.
It's like
they're the last people to talk to Molly's parents before they died. And then we see the burn with Tina. So what do you guys think at this moment?
I feel like the Yorks tried to warn them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But
clearly they know.
They knew something. That's why they wanted to protect themselves. Because he said, we have to do what we have to do to protect ourselves. Don't worry about nobody else. In the pride, we don't care. We have to worry about our family right now and protection. Because they're like, they might be scientists, but they're not that strong. So like, you're going to need the protection as much as you can get with all the powerful people you have around you.
Yeah. They clearly know something. I don't think they, like, killed Molly's parents.
No,
but they know something. And I don't know if Tina... Tina seems really ruthless, though.
Oh, yeah.
So she's... I don't trust her.
Tina seems ruthless. She seemed really, like, concerned. She was, like, covering her burn. Like, if you didn't have anything to hide, you wouldn't be so scared of people seeing, like, your bandages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, the Yorks, like, she was, like, knocking the brownies over. Like, she was so flustered.
She was
like,
so
they
nervous.
Definitely know something.
Yeah, and maybe that because they feel guilty, so that's why they took Molly in. You know, I think they did care about Molly's parents, and they care about Molly, but clearly something's just not right. So
don't they feel the most genuine out of all the parents?
I would want them to be my parents out of the whole pride, for sure. But there's, like, something wrong with them, for sure. That's too good to be
wacky,
true.
A little crazy.
They're
like
their taco order.
There.
Huh?
I like their taco order. They're like, 60 tacos. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
For a little friend downstairs.
I like the mix of him trying to speak Spanish, and, like, the guy's just looking at you like, dude, you can talk to me in English.
Oh, yeah, that pissed me off. I hated that so much.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. And then Dale, he's always trying... I don't know. Dale has... problematic.
Dale wants to be cool, but he's not.
Yeah,
he's accepted.
As well with Alex's father, Jeffrey. He was just like, hey, brother. And I'm like,
that's
Dale,
offensive.
Sit down.
I hope people look at my expression. That is offensive as hell.
I like how everyone's getting offended right now.
I know. I'm offended because, like, I'm sorry. You, like, what right is you, like, I'm sure you want to connect. You can connect me like a normal human being. You don't have to try to use colloquialisms that are urban to understand, like, get with me. I understand. I get you.
Yeah. They're just like nerds, though.
Same thing with that taco stand. Like, it was bad hearing that gibberish. but one thing about that family is that
they are smart
scientists. And what usually how scientists are portrayed is that they lack a lot of empathy and a lot of, like, they're not able to sympathize with people because they're so logical-based thinking. So what you're honing in on, what's wrong with them, I think it's that. Or, like, they have that essence, or that part of their personality not there. As in, like, they can't really sympathize too much.
Or it's a fake sympathy.
Their sympathy is overshadowed by guilt, I think. Yes. That's what I think.
But I love that scene with Lil Molly. She's like, I want to be an elephant when I grow up. I was like,
so adorable. She's so adorable.
Well, she's got the strength of one now.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Right?
And it's so funny how
she is an elephant now. She's just like...
Yeah, it's funny because she's, like, going through puberty, so, like, this whole, like, her powers, basically, is kind of, like, a metaphor of growing up, in a sense, so getting stronger. And so I guess we'll talk about the story arc with Molly and how Catherine's, like, ruthless. She's like, I'm going to go find out. Give me a couple minutes. I'm going to find out if she saw this. So she
brought, like, her little injection thing with her. What the hell was she going to do?
I was wondering what that
was.
She's
going
to sedate her. So basically, that was a serum that they used, like, to help people forget things.
Yeah.
But it's also something they used on Frank Dean. So what that made me think of was Frank was in the Pride before, but because of something maybe that happened, they used it against him. So that's why he's not been right since.
Okay.
And that's why he's slowly trying to figure out, like, what the hell is going on in this church. Like,
she's on to something.
Interesting.
And maybe that's the synergy serum that the Yorks made.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's like one of them.
Yeah. But Molly totally outsmarts Catherine, and she basically didn't lie, Shay.
She didn't lie. The whole point of a lie is to say as much close to the truth as you possibly can when you're telling the lie. So technically, the truth was they went to the study to try to get some liquor. She wasn't lookout, but that's what she's the youngest.
Molly
wanted a drink.
It was like a bourbon.
Bourbon on the rocks?
Bourbon on the rocks, something like that. Yeah. Maybe. So, Molly, that's my girl. But
so Molly is smart enough and savvy enough
smart.
To know that the girl
she's in
was
danger.
Onto her.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She smelt that danger. She was real quick about it. She's like, because she's also scared. She was like, nobody ever listens to me. Like, she went on a whole tangent just like to redirect the whole situation. Good job.
She played that, like, I have no parents card. I was like, go, girl. Yeah,
I'm the youngest. Nobody even listens to me.
Yeah.
You don't believe me either. Because, like, but she actually feels it, too. So it was, like, real emotion.
Yeah.
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 So.
It's good.
Definitely, she's a standout for me in these two episodes. And I think that's just, like, us in general. We kind of, like, look down on youth. We don't see them as being smart, you know? And it's funny how we're seeing in this situation that Molly is totally outsmarting a, like, 40-year-old woman.
But, that's always something I always disagree with. I believe children are very smart. Like, you should never underestimate anybody who's a teenager or a kid because they see things, obviously, because as we grow up, we get jaded by things. They're not jaded yet. So they get to see things in a totally different aspect than we do. So you shouldn't underestimate that at all.
Yeah.
Because when you underestimate it, you get your face on the concrete.
Kids aren't stupid. They know what sex is. Okay. So let's go on to my girl, Carolina.
Hopefully.
I love me some Carolina. I'm super excited to see her story arc in the future because I feel like we didn't see her too much in these two episodes. She's just convinced that Destiny is still alive. Carolina goes snooping around the Church of the Gaborim, and she comes across this painting. This very familiar painting. It's all blue and pink. And
the
remember,
guy said that her grandfather painted it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's another portal.
It's another experiment.
It's her.
It could be her. It could be
it is
someone
her.
The grandfather knows.
What do you mean it's her?
Well, do you remember the episode one when she took off her bracelet and you saw the pink and the blue?
Yeah,
all the
colors. Yeah. But
I'm so excited.
I think she's excited to experiment. Like, she was created. Because, in her mind, she doesn't remember not wearing the bracelet. The only thing that happens to her when she takes off the bracelet is she, like, goes all pink and blue and she passes out with no recollection of what happened in that time.
Mm-hmm. Because she always said, like, oh, it's funny, I don't think I ever took this off.
Is it a tracking device, too, though? It feels like a tracking device.
Do you think?
And it's, like, one of those things that you put on your ankle when you're on, like, house arrest.
House arrest.
Wow. You know what you're talking what I'm talking about, yeah.
It was funny.
Whoever's cuter.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny because, Mina, you brought up, like, I'm convinced this is modeled after the Scientology Church of Scientology.
I'm so convinced.
Yeah, I was. So it was convinced. Funny because I was reading an...
L. Ron Hubbard is, like, the grandfather.
Yeah, sure. I was reading an article or something that kind of, like, it was definitely influenced. I forget which article it was, but it was definitely influenced after the church. So, sorry. I don't mean to offend. I hope the show doesn't offend
anyone.
They
are going to come after you. You're going to be wiped
gonna
off this
you.
Panel.
They're
going to
come after you.
I'm going to get hit because we were associating with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Mina. But don't come for the black one, just so you know.
Oh, goodness.
Don't come for any of us. So, do you guys want to talk about the Minorus and their little date?
Oh, my. Okay, first of all.
It was so awful.
Okay, so, Robert. Robert. Robbie, Bob, let me ask you a question. Your wife is trying to be... She's trying it. Like, I give her props for at least attempting to try to do a date, attempting to try to make your marriage work, and you're not giving her anything.
Cringy.
It's like a cold vice. Like, you're not giving her no emotion. And then she gets trying to... Like, first of all, I thought she was going to, like, you know, do the footsie move, but girl took off her underwear. That's
panties dropped.
Panties dropped. And I was like, I
he
was
wanted
like,
nothing
that was
to do
sexy
with that.
Though.
He was like, ugh.
I felt bad for him a little bit. I'm just like, I'm pulling my sexiest move right now, and you're not taking the bait. Why?
I don't know how I missed that part.
What?
Like,
what?
I always miss. Like, it's like
Mina,
somehow
you missed the dinosaur.
I missed that part, and I missed the panty dropping part too.
You missed all the important parts.
It's like some weird censorship, like natural censorship.
Are you just zoned out for some reason doing those particular parts?
Tony, just can't remember.
She did come in hot though. That was pretty aggressive.
I like that she's trying to not be cold for once.
Yeah.
And Robert's just—he's making it too obvious. Like, it seems like she's gonna catch on that there's something up with Robert, because Robert's clearly—he didn't get any affection from Tina after the death of Amy. And so that kind of brings us to Janet, Chase's mom. And Janet's
abused by her husband.
But yeah. So she kind of needs, like, a vessel to get that affection that she's not getting from Victor. And so she doesn't want a relationship with Robert, though, Janet.
No, she doesn't.
Robert wants a relationship with her.
We were talking about it earlier. I was just like, seriously, that whole scene, oh, you know, I put a down payment on this place. It's for us.
Whoa.
And it was like... We didn't talk about this. Like, I'm still processing, that's all. But you can tell, for her, seriously, this is just about the intimacy and the sexual act itself. This is not because I want you. I'm still going to be with my husband at the end of the day. You are on another level that we are not at, and I'm not at, and I will never be at, most likely. Yeah. I think she's, like, she's brainwashed to be stuck with Victor. She doesn't mind, like, dipping out on her husband, but she will never leave him either.
I think she's more realistic about the situation, and he's kind of living in, like, La La Land with their relationship, because he's just like, cool, we're gonna, like, live in this apartment or whatever it is on our off time together. I don't know, it just was like,
and plus the fact realistic. That I think he's trying to do that also because the pride's not supposed to meet anymore, so he's really trying to take advantage of that. But clearly Janet, she seems to defend a lot of people. She defends Chase, she even defends her abusive husband. So Janet's kind of like a lost cause. I don't really know where. I really don't know where
she
Janet
just,
is.
She
That's
has
the character
no
I would kill off. I would kill off Janet if I could kill off
Jay Snowden. Who buys a house for a married woman?
Ooh, Ivan in the chat. First off, he said that maybe if Molly's not a mutant, maybe she's an inhuman. And Ashley, you covered inhumans on the after show for this free season one. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing, that Molly might be able to become an inhuman. So.
That would be very cool.
But also, he said, Oliver, don't you feel like the moms seem more evil than the fathers in the pride? So, what do you guys think?
Yeah, besides Victor, everybody's
point.
Evil. All the moms are hella, like, they're just business focused about their plan. Mm-hmm. They're just focused on the plan. Maybe
they're more strategic.
Maybe in Excel, I'll
they're
say
smarter.
Except for the York's mom. She can be evil, but I don't think she really has it in her to, like be full-time evil the entire time. Like, she's just only about her own survival. I feel like that's more than it is for her.
Yeah.
I just think the show is, like, totally shifting the male gaze, you know? Because, like, I think the women are really, like, strategical, like you guys have been saying, and they're really being smart about this situation, whatever their plan is. Whereas the fathers, they're acting so much on emotion, mm-hmm. which is kind of what we've seen in the election, this past election, not to bring up politics. But also with Gert and Chase, you know how Gert's kind of, she was like, this is skipping ahead, but Gert was totally looking at Chase, checking him out with the x-ray glasses, goggles, she was checking his butt out in the first episode, I think. Remember that? I mean, I don't blame her at all.
The
but.
Women on the panel, who would also have done that with Chase? Raise your hand.
Me and I raise the
hand. Raise the hand. Don't lie. He's okay. Like, honestly.
Hashtag, he's still in high school.
Not in real life. he's too LA pretty boy for me. I like the rugged.
What
like
did you
guys, rugged look.
What did you guys think about the beach scene meetup when Gert was getting super thirsty and jealous? She was like, Carolina, you need to, like, get out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
She was being crazy, but I liked it.
I like it too.
She forced Chase into hanging out with her.
I'm like,
girl's going for what she wants, and I gotta like say, like, good for you.
But also, it's just like she's not doing it with Chase. Why won't you tell Carolina? Like, honestly, I kind of understand why you won't tell Carolina what happened to her. But you can also, hey, girl, the reason why something happened, if you see, like, you could like admit to, so Carolina doesn't find out. Even though Gert would probably use it to her advantage at a later time and point, but still, like.
Use what?
I don't get. Maybe he didn't want to embarrass her or, like, have her confront those guys and feel, like, awful about the situation. I'm talking about Chase to Carolina right now. Like, I also was wondering the same thing. I was like, is he trying to protect her from knowing?
I feel like it came from a protective place. Like, he didn't want to stir the pot. He didn't want to make it a huge thing. Because that's kind of a scary place to go at times.
Yeah, especially what happened with the ceremony. It's kind of like they have a bigger problem almost. Not to say that's bigger because she was almost raped, but, like, they have a huge situation of life or death, you know, kind of.
He might not also want to, like, involve her as much as he can help it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. But I feel like those two dudes are just going to come back. They're going to come back. They're coming for Chase either way. Mm-hmm. And words are going to be spilled in this conversation when that happens.
So she's
going to find out.
Yeah.
It's like an event. It's like a rift
in their friendship. I think we're going to find out in episode 4, so I'm super excited. Let's get on to Nico. Our girl Nico, the coolest runaway ever.
I love how she shows up appropriately dressed to the beach.
Oh, yeah. All black.
Oh, my gosh. All black.
Perfect summer outfit.
And combat boots.
So practical.
She's so cool. Even her pajamas in episode 2 when she went to go sleep in Amy's room, they were so cool. It was, like, shredded. I was like, dang. She's so cool. But anyways, Nico gets into her mom's secret staff, and that's a staff of one. And this is a very interesting object that belongs to her mom. And in the comics, this was a special artifact that was able to grant you a spell. But it's called the staff of one. So you can only use that particular spell once. So if I drop dead right now, you can use it to resurrect me. But you can never use that resurrection spell again. And you had to shed blood in order to use the rod.
That's why they kept getting hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how they changed it, because they didn't want to promote, you know, self-harm. So they used a prick instead of, like, on the thumb. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they're going to keep that in the show, because that was something that Nico always ran into in the comics. She was like, I can't use a resurrection spell because I already used it. I can't use a free spell because I already used it. So that was, like, a reoccurring thing for Nico. But she invites homeboy. She invites homeboy Alex
to help
over.
Her to do the snowflakes.
Yeah,
help
because
her, help her fix the situation.
She unintentionally conjured up a snowstorm, basically, in her house. And I'm like, how are you going to clean that? Your mom's coming home, but they end up cleaning it. So what did you think of this scene?
I just wonder what that book was. The book that belonged to Amy. Like,
that was a diary.
No, I know, but like. I wonder what her mom is doing with it. If it's more than just the sentimental value of keeping it, or if there's something like a spell book or something weird going on. Like, it's another artifact.
That's why I'm wondering if they're going to alter, like, that the power of the staff.
Yeah.
I wonder if she has, like, secrets in it that her mom doesn't want Nico to find out, like, about her parents, or maybe she knew too much or something.
And
that's really interesting.
It seems like. I don't know. I feel like Nico could clearly use the staff, and her mom could use the staff. And I think Alex attempted to use the staff, but he couldn't use the staff.
So it's only a family thing.
It could
thing.
Be. And I wonder if Amy had potential to use the staff as well.
What I was thinking about the staff is, is it possible that, like, every new wielder has to give up the offering of blood, which is the prick? Because Nico was pricked right when she picked it up. while, and so it kind of like it was attached to her, as in like she was the only wielder for that time. And if anyone else tried to wield it, they wouldn't be able to. They'd have to like give up the same offering afterwards. So that's why I think when Alex picked it up, it was just like he just dropped it because
well, it burned him. That's why. As soon as he touched it, it burned him.
So you mean you have to have suffered loss to use it? Like a sacrifice?
Interesting.
And also, now that you mentioned, if you just burned him, is it possible that it could have burned Nico's mom in the flashback scene, and that the staff could have been Gert's, Molly's parents? Staff?
Ooh. That's an interesting.
Very interesting.
Did you binge watch this, Anthony?
There's only four episodes. How do you know everything?
It's been a couple of days. I don't remember everything.
So, were you going to say anything else?
Chase and Gert, real quick. Yeah. Like, when he tried to look at her, and then him going to look through the safe door, and he was just like, whatever this thing is made up, it's the same made up of your outfit, because I can't look through it. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Because she's like, I think this is just fair play. Like, we're on fair ground now. We're even.
But they found something together in their basement. The dinosaur. Dinosaur was just like rushed out. But Gert was having a panic attack. She's like, oh my gosh, calm down. And when she was doing, when she was telling that to herself and to Chase, the dinosaur was calming down. What were your thoughts on that?
It's like, I can speak parcel tongue to you, Harry. I can speak to the dinosaurs.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna pass on that, but even though I do love the Harry Potter reference. Harry Potter, like, he called her Hermione. That's also the Harry Potter reference I wanted to mention, because I loved it. Nico and Alex.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the best thing ever in my life for that night, for the day. But as for that, it was, I think, because it heard her through the vents, and it started to, like, hearing her sing. It's like, it's just, I don't know, dinosaurs have a very instinctual, you know, in themselves. So I feel like it felt safe with Gert. Like, Chase maybe not, like, just didn't feel safe, but, like, when Gert started talking, it calmed down really quickly, and it's just like, I thought he was going to walk back into the thing so they could have closed the door on him, not, like, escape.
What do you think her power is?
Did you just say the dinosaurs are very, what?
The dinosaur is also a she, by the way. She likes Gert.
I actually got a quick theory on this. So, why does a dinosaur need a septum?
Right?
Real quick. All right. So, on that note,
what
does
it mean?
A septum.
So I'm thinking that that thing is that.
What? How did I miss this, guys? How did I miss this?
Nina, I need you to. I need you to watch with me. Okay, we're gonna watch together so we can plan out things.
It like went over my head.
Nina has to watch the episode 3 times. Mandatory.
Oh my god!
You need
god,
to watch
no.
the episode while we're doing the after show.
I wonder so if that's bad. Like for the parents to control them, because they do that to bears. Like if you touch that bears, like it. They lose all power.
Yeah, it's like a telepathic receiver, but only towards Gert's and her parents' actual DNA, not Molly's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Molly couldn't be able to because that's not her DNA, so. Mm-hmm. Look out, Molly!
I actually know this. I think you know it, too. So I, like, can't say anything.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So we gotta wrap up episode 3 for real quick with Leslie. So we find out that Destiny was washed up ashore. Victor had to finish Destiny off. She was still alive in the box. So she washes up on a beach. And they need another sacrifice. And episode 3 ends.
I'm actually afraid.
Oh, and Victor was kind of getting those really crazy flashes of Destiny. And she was like, help me. And she wasn't actually really there. So I think he's kind of going to go crazy.
Dementia, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Something.
Now, that
really
honestly
wrong
does
him.
Feel like PTSD because she probably was there before and he feels like.
No, she's covered in
trauma.
Sand. Like, even her whole
you know
face
what?
Is covered in
I
sand.
I think he's going to take the serum.
Yeah, the PTSD serum. Mm. Because it sounds like he's.
Synergy.
I think there's more to Victor than what we see. Like, he has, like, he's obviously abusive, but I think there's something there.
But why? And
there's guilt. There's guilt there.
Why is he so angry? You know?
Yeah.
There has to be a reason.
There has to be something that's happened. And I in a way, I empathize less with his wife for some reason. Mm. I don't know why, because I feel like there's something there with Victor, even though he's psychotic.
Yeah, I feel like...
He's psychotic, seriously.
Like, pain comes from... Or anger comes from pain, I think.
Yeah.
And so, not to say, like, oh, Victor, you're so perfect. Like, you beat your wife. That's horrible.
No, not at all. I'm not trying to, like, humanize him. I'm just trying to say that... I feel like he's not just a one-dimensional character.
Absolutely.
It's not so black and white.
Yeah. And that's cool that, because they totally were in the comics, totally one-dimensional. So I think everyone in the show is totally, like, four-dimensional. Like, you can feel them through the TV screen. So, guys, I have to do this quick live read real quick to get it out of the way.
Oh. Alex and Nico, kiss. Go.
Okay, so
history
is critically acclaimed series Vikings will premiere with a 2-hour season premiering airing Wednesday, November 29th at 9. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army, while Lagertha reigns as queen of Kattegat. Ivar's murderer of his brother, Sigurd, sets the stage for vicious battles to come as Ragnar's sons plot their next move after avenging their father's death. Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea, and Flocki, who is suffering from the loss of his wife, Helga, takes to the sea, submitting himself to the will of the gods. The season is full of starting alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Do you guys watch Vikings?
No.
Well,
I saw the first season.
Will.
It's good.
I might check out Vikings, but I'm too hooked on Runaways right now. Do you want to do a quick little segment?
Oh, hey, guys. So, before we get into our segment, okay, we're going to be doing a giveaway.
Ooh. Spill the beans, girl.
We're going to be doing a giveaway. So, we're going to have some special guests joining us in the next couple after shows we're going to do. So, what I want you to do is to go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review with your username. And I understand some people don't have iTunes, so if you don't, comment under each video that we do, put 5-star and a comment about why you love the show, or who's your favorite ship, who's your favorite character, so I know you want to be entered in the contest. And we're going to be giving away a signed Runaways, Marvel's Runaways graphic novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. From our special guests who are going to be joining us in the studio.
And it's multiple. It's not.
It is multiple.
And we're not telling you, right?
We're not telling you guys.
It's a secret. You have to tune in.
You have to tune in to see who's going to join us. And the more you tune in, the more you review. At the end of the finale episode, we're going to put all the names in a hat and we're going to pick one live for you guys. And I'm going to mail it to you.
Is it okay if they don't have iTunes, if they do it on the YouTube
video? Yes.
Awesome. So if you don't have iTunes, definitely. But if you do have iTunes, 5-star rating on our Runaways podcast. Leave a review with your username.
Yes, guys. I'm so excited for the rest of the season. Unfortunately, we don't have time for the segment because we just ran a little... It's hard to cover 2 episodes in one after show, okay? But maybe for next week we can do it. And it was a really good, fun segment. But anyways, let's wrap up. One last time, tell the good people, tell the Runaways that are watching us where they can find you on social media.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Brinkman again, and you can find me on Instagram at Ashley_Brinkman.
Hello everyone, once more, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Mina Makes Magic. I make the magic happen just like Hermione, Harry, Ron.
Oh my god.
I so wish I could do a British accent, but I cannot. So hey guys, I am Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and Love Shay Butter on Snapchat.
I'm Oliver Drennan. Oh, you can find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We cannot wait for our special guest.
Tune in next week for the special guest.
Yes, we'll be covering episodes 4 and 5. Thank you guys. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Runaways!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.